Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gumberti.
I am very excited about the show. We are going to discuss how to construct and implement a powerful content marketing strategy with Mary Fernandez. Mary is a blogger, visibility strategist, and content marketing manager for Optin Monster. She is also the host of the Persuasion Nation podcast series. And now, it is my pleasure to welcome Mary to the show.
Wow, thank you so much for that introduction, Mark. I'm so happy to be here and to speak to your audience.
I'm happy to have you on the episode as well. And as we talked just a little before the episode, I first came across you with your smart blogger post when you were talking about how to use Facebook ads. And I know that Facebook ads is just like a small piece of content marketing. And you have like a big journey in content marketing. And what I ask people is, what got them started with what they ended up pursuing in their journey? So I ask you in the similar sense, what got you started with content marketing?
That's a great question. Well, I actually just happened into it accidentally. So I was teaching ballet, and this was back in 2010. And I just wanted to share more with my students than what we had time for in class. So I figured I'd just start a blog and then just write stuff down there so that they could read it and learn more, and I wouldn't get their muscles cold while we were doing our ballet lessons. So from there, I accidentally started ranking in Google for certain search terms that that ballet teachers were looking for. They were looking for answers to how to teach better ballet classes. So I started attracting this audience of ballet teachers, and it sort of spurred me on to just keep honing in my craft and learn more and then share more. So I just started learning more about teaching and then sharing what I was learning. And I ended up selling a variety of educational products and realizing that I could actually, you know, build an email list and sell things online just got me really excited about content marketing. So then I started researching that. So that's how I got started, Mark.
That sounds very similar to my story in the sense that you weren't intentionally going into it, but then you realized that you could continue doing this about your passion and you enjoyed it, and it just made sense. So I started with a blog about the Boston Red Sox. That evolved into what I'm currently doing today. And at some point, obviously a lot later than it should have been, I learned about the importance of an email list. And I know that since you've been in content marketing.
We all learn that too late, don't we? I think that's every entrepreneur's story. I should have built my email list sooner.
Everyone says that. Like, I have not come across one person who said, I build it at just the right time.
Yeah, no, I've never heard that ever. Yeah, well, and I think my big revelation also in regard to that was just that I should have started guest blogging sooner, because I didn't really realize that you could get your blog post out to a larger audience that way. Or I just wasn't, I mean, I knew about it, but I thought, oh, that's just something that you do when you're more advanced. It's not something you do when you're just starting out. So I kept putting it off. But when I wrote that smart blogger post that you read, actually, that was my first guest post that I ever wrote.
Wow.
And I figured, okay, I'm just going to, you know, get this message out in a big way. And then I was just amazed by how many email subscribers I could get that way. Like, I think I got about 100 subscribers within a couple weeks. And that was huge for me at the time, given that my email list to that point, I think, was something around 500 subscribers. And that took me about 5 years to get to that point. So, yeah.
So basically the guest blogging was your secret weapon, but did you do anything else, or was guest blogging the main focus?
Well, back when I was doing the ballet blog, I wasn't doing anything except I had just a simple email opt-in form that was to subscribe for updates. That was it. I didn't even have an incentive for them to get on my email list or anything like that. I didn't really know about lead magnets. I just figure, you know, if you really like what I'm writing about, then you'll subscribe. And people did subscribe. It just took a long time.
Been there, done that. My first 150,000 visitors, I got about 300 subscribers. So, like, just think about how low that conversion rate is, because I didn't know how to optimize it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, this is something that, you know, your listeners should definitely start an email list if they haven't already.
So within your content marketing journey, there's obviously been some ups and downs, and everyone faces that really low point in the journey in which they have deep thoughts about what they're doing and the future that they're walking towards. So what was your low point within your journey, and then how did you get past it?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think having ups and downs is pretty normal. So if you're experiencing that right now, then that's, you know, not something to be ashamed of. In fact, I continue to have ups and downs like all the time. But one of my low points was just realizing that I was in the wrong business entirely. With the ballet blog, it wasn't a very big market, number one, because most ballet teachers don't really want to learn how to teach. I found that there was a small niche for teachers who were really looking for to learn new methods of teaching, but most of them were very closed-minded about it and didn't want any sort of educational products. So that really made the market very small, and so it really plateaued for me. And also just realizing that I didn't really want to be teaching anymore myself, and I really am a big believer in practicing what you preach. If you're going to be blogging about something, you don't have to necessarily be doing it yourself for it to work, technically speaking, but I think it works a lot better if you do. And just for me, I wanted to be writing about something that I was doing. And trying to teach in the evenings when the kids are out of school, and on the weekends, those are the big times for teaching ballet. And it just wasn't working for me once I started having my own kids, because I wanted to be spending time with them and not with students or working. So how I got past that was, I had to take a big step back and go, okay, you know, I had this huge vision for what I wanted to do, but I don't think that that's my vision anymore. So I need to scratch that idea and just think about what other ideas I, you know, could come up with. And it's all really tough to figure out what you're good at a lot of times, because you take a lot of the things that you're good at for granted. So I ended up just surveying my family and friends and just asking them questions like, what do you think I'm good at? Or what words would you use to describe me? Or, you know, what would you ask me for help with? Things like that. And then I just wrote down all of their answers and then compared them and looked for similarities in the answers. And I was finding a lot of things that were very similar between their answers. So I took that and I thought about, okay, what am I passionate about here that's resonating with what they're saying? And I realized that what I'm really passionate about is actually the content marketing. That even, you know, it wouldn't really matter to me so much what I was blogging about, because I just love the marketing in and of itself. So that's where I made that pivot to start actually learning more about it and actually getting into that niche for myself. And so that's how I ended up on Smart Blogger.
It's interesting how you mentioned that you went to your family and friends for advice, because I feel what some people will do is they'll pin it all on themselves. They'll feel like they're the only person on their journey, and sometimes they'll like be reluctant to ask for help or not even consider it. And that's a really big mistake for anything that you want to do.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of, I don't know if maybe people feel a little embarrassed to ask, or feeling like, well, okay, if I'm going to be an expert in something, then I better know what I'm an expert in already. Like, I can't ask people what to be an expert in, you know, but, it's so true though, that other people can see things more clearly from the outside. It's really great to have another point of view, and even to go to somebody who's not a family or a member or a friend, like somebody who, is a complete stranger. Like if you can hire a coach, or even just get like a free coaching session from someone who's just a complete, you know, non-biased person to tell you, you know, just to look at maybe what you've done so far and just give you their insights, or just listen to you and then give you some insights. I think that's really, really helpful. I did that, with, someone who's now a friend, but, she was just offering free coaching, and at the time, you know, she didn't know me, so she was just, completely not biased, and just having her just sort of listen to my struggles and then help me through it was really, really helpful.
So this transformational time of your life allowed you to tap into your content marketing passion. And now you are, the content marketing manager for Optin Monster. And to have that type of a position and to have the type of passion that you have for content marketing, you must know a lot about what makes a great content marketing strategy. So I ask you, what's in one of these great strategies for content marketing? And if we get a little insider trade here, what is Optin Monster's content marketing strategy?
Sure. Well, so I think any content marketing strategy needs to be about useful pillar content. And that's what we do at Optin Monster. So it's not, and what I mean by useful pillar content is not just writing more in-depth articles, like in terms of length, but writing articles that are actually useful for your target market. I think most people go into it thinking, what do I want to write about? Or what do I want to write about so that I can sell stuff? Which it's good to think about that, but first you need to figure out what are people actually looking for, where are they at right now, and it's often not where you think they are. So you may be thinking that that they're ready for an article on XYZ, but really they're only at A, B, and C, and you need to get them through the whole alphabet first before you can get to the end, for lack of a better analogy. But where, you know, what I like to do is just do some keyword research and, you know, figure out what are people actually typing into Google. Or it doesn't have to be just, for blog posts. Let's say you're doing a YouTube video. I would go in and type in just a broad topic into YouTube and then see what the suggested searches are. And those are things that people are actually typing in. So then I figure, okay, well, they are actually looking for this. Why don't I create a video on this or create a blog post on this to answer this question, or to, you know, to give them something useful like a list of templates or a list of resources or whatever it is that they're looking for. And then just make sure that my content is the best. So I'll go and I'll look and see, okay, what has somebody else already written on this topic, and take the good stuff from it. Go look at what everybody else has written, take the good stuff from that, get rid of the stuff I don't like, and add my own stuff to it, and basically make it the best article that it can be.
So you mentioned a lot of elements within your content marketing strategy, which are all very sound. I liked a lot of them. They all make a lot of great sense. But how do you go about implementing a content marketing strategy so that it's not just you have all these wonderful ideas and they make sense on paper. How do you turn them into reality?
So are you talking more about a workflow for actually coming up with blog post ideas and then creating them, or?
I'm talking more about you have all these different ideas to market your content and to create the content. How would you approach going from I need to do ABC for my content marketing strategy to actually making it happen?
Okay, yeah. Well, I really love to have an editorial calendar so that I can actually map out all of these ideas and know when they're going to be coming out so that I can actually make them happen. So I like to use a free plugin for WordPress. If anybody is using WordPress, it's called EditFlow. And I just use EditFlow to, it gives you a calendar on your dashboard that shows you what articles you've got planned for the month or the quarter or the entire year if you wanted to. But it also gives you little custom statuses. So I can take an idea for a post, and the second I get that idea, I can just add it in there and put it as the status pitch. So it'll just be sort of an idea sitting there and waiting to be turned into reality. From there, you can actually assign new statuses, such as assigned, if you want to assign it to another writer besides yourself. And then if it's being worked on, you can mark it as in progress. So you can just turn that idea into an actual post and then schedule it out and then be able to see what you've got coming down the pipe overall. So that's how I like to go about it. I also, in terms of actually writing the post, I find it's really helpful to just break down the actual writing into steps. So when I come up with an idea, it's just a headline initially. I just will write down a headline. But from there, when I actually try to create the post, I'll start off by just researching. And I kind of mentioned the researching before, so I'll research keywords. I'll research other posts that are currently written on that topic. And then from there, I'll write an outline of the entire post, and that's really what I spend most of my mental energy on. After that, it's just about grabbing images that I want to use. So I'll collect all the images, whether it's screenshots or just any sort of an image to illustrate my point, and then actually go and write the post. So filling in the whole outline so it's a finished article. And then I'll usually create, you know, the blog post thumbnail that gets shared on social media and optimize it for search engines, and then I schedule it.
So the way I see a blog and writing blog posts is that it's great for building the relationship, but in the end, you want your visitors to take a certain action. And a popular action people want their visitors to take is to go to their squeeze page and enter their email.
Sure.
So I'm wondering, how exactly do you get this squeeze page in front of more people via free content marketing first?
Well, so first of all, in terms of the traditional squeeze page where it's just, you know, a page with nothing else on it except for you've got your call to action and your opt-in form. My favorite way that I mentioned earlier is with guest blogging. So I will write a post for a popular publication, and then they'll give me a byline in exchange. The byline is just basically your little mini bio that you get at the bottom of the post. And I will include a link to my squeeze page there. And the copy for the link will be something with a strong call to action, such as click here to download my giant guest blogging index or something like that. So something that compels people to want to click on the link and go there. You can also, with some sites, they'll allow you to put a contextual link in the actual body of the post. So basically just a link that's within the article itself. And if they'll allow you to do that, then that's another great way to get more traffic to your squeeze page. But I think it's important to remember all the other different ways that you can grow your email list too, besides just the traditional squeeze page. For instance, you're getting all this traffic, hopefully, to your blog anyway, so you want to really optimize it for that call to action. So whatever it is, whatever incentive you have for people to opt in, you want them to see that when they go to your blog in as many places as possible, in my opinion. So I'll put a sidebar opt-in. I'll put one that's in line with the actual blog post. You could add a scroll box opt-in form. So like when somebody's scrolling down and they get to about halfway down the page, then it slides in. It's a nice little polite way to ask people to opt in. And my favorite of all is the exit intent. So when someone motions to leave your blog, that's when it'll pop up as a little light box window that asks them, you know, hey, before you go, I have something amazing for you. You might want to check it out, and you know, enter your email to download it. That I like to have installed on every single page of my site, because it really can't hurt to ask at that point. You're only leaving subscribers on the table by not asking.
That is very true. As you mentioned, putting the opt-ins and that opportunity on as many places as possible, I like to do that with my blog, but I never really have an exit intent pop-up, so that's definitely something I'm going to be looking at based on your recommendation.
Yeah, well, there's a statistic that 70% of people who leave your site will never come back ever again, and so you've just lost them. So that's where, if you have an exit pop-up, it can really help you. And they're shown to increase your conversions by between 2% and 4% pretty consistently. So I'd be really curious to see what your conversions look like after you install it. You'll have to let me know.
Yeah, I'll definitely let you know, whether it be through email, maybe through a follow-up episode, but I'll definitely let you know about how the exit intent pop-up does.
And awesome.
So one of the things that people think about when they want to grow their email list is they look towards paid traffic. So they look at Facebook ads, they look at Google AdWords. What is your advice for optimizing this paid marketing to get as many subscribers as possible to your email list?
Sure. Well, I love Facebook ads, obviously. I think that they're really great because they're one of the best ways to target very specific people. So you can target people based on what pages they like, for example. That's my favorite way to do it. As far as optimizing your squeeze page, I think it's all about getting your copy to match your ad, so that it's basically continuing the conversation that you started with the ad. So whatever your call to action is on the ad, it should just be reflected on the squeeze page. And the more personalized you can make it, the better. So the more you know about those people that you're targeting your ad to, just the easier it will be for you to write that ad copy. So I'd probably start with targeting a page that I'm really familiar with, or a person that I'm really familiar with. Like, let's say I wanted to target an ad to people who follow Derek Halpern or something. And so I would basically research those people. Okay, what are they really interested in? What is it that they really like about Derek Halpern, and what is it about his message that they resonate with? And then how can I actually use that information to write the copy for my squeeze page?
That's an interesting way to do some research and figure out how to best present yourself to an audience. And presenting yourself to an audience is really important regardless of what type of a platform you use. And you've mentioned guest blogging a lot throughout this interview, and I've seen guest blogging work wonders for my business. But there are people listening to this episode who have not written a single guest post, and they're in the dark a little bit about how to make guest blogging happen. So how do you recommend getting these guest blogging opportunities?
Yeah, well, so you'll need to find some popular publications in your niche that are accepting guest writers. And a good way to do that is just to go into Google and then type in your topic, whatever that is, and then add something to it like guest writers or contributor or write for us, things like that, that they might have on their site that are actually inviting guest bloggers to come and write for them. And once you find some blogs that are accepting guest writers, you'll want to take a look at that blog and see whether it's really one that you want to pursue. I think that a lot of first-time guest bloggers will just write for whoever will accept them, which is a great first start. But it can also be disappointing if you're expecting a ton of email subscribers or a ton of comments and traffic, and then it just falls flat because the blog that you wrote for just wasn't really that popular. So I like to look for guest posts. I like to look at the number of shares that they get on each post on average and the number of comments that they get on average. These things aren't really, they're what you'd call vanity metrics. They're not really important for your business per se, except for driving traffic with shares is important, as well as it is an indicator for ranking you in Google. But especially with comments, they're not necessarily indicative of your success or not. However, with guest blogging, though, I think it's really important to write for a really engaged audience so that you can get some feedback on that post as soon as possible. It's just a really great way to start interacting with the audience. So I really like to write for blogs that have a lot of comments and a lot of shares. So I know that when I publish with them, I'm going to be getting questions from their audience that I can then answer and just start to build that relationship with their audience.
So guest blogging is seen as a great way for bloggers to put their content on other people's blogs and get more traffic that way. But I recently learned about the flip side of the coin, where it's great to accept guest posts from contributors, post them on your site, and your site gets filled up with more value. So I'm wondering, how do you get contributors for your blog?
Sure. Well, how I've done it is, first I ask my own audience, because they're my biggest fans, and there's some of them that would be just really happy to write some awesome content for me. And so I've done that, and I've gotten a lot of really high quality writers that way. What I plan to do is put up a Write For Us page on my website, just to give them, you know, anyone who's reading the site access to your guidelines and what you're looking for in a guest writer, just to lay it all out for them so they understand what it is that you're looking for. And, but my favorite way is to actually, poach guest writers from other blogs. So you could go and look at other blogs that are accepting guest writers. And if you see an article that you really like and it's by a guest author, just reach out to that person directly and you can say, hey, I read your awesome post on XYZ blog, and I'm actually looking for guest writers to write about, you know, similar topics, and would you be open to that? You know, so basically stealing them from your competitors.
So I like that idea of contacting people who are experienced at writing guest posts, and it really takes some courage to reach out to people who you don't know before. And I know that you're probably really good at it because you've done it so much and you've learned so many great lessons along your journey. And I ask you, with everything in mind that has happened to you ever since you got serious with your content marketing passion, what is the best lesson that you have learned along that journey?
I think you just need to keep trying. Most people, unfortunately, just give up. So, you know, despite all of the difficulties, if you just keep persisting, then you're bound to succeed eventually. So, yeah, just keep on going. You know, pick yourself up, dust yourself off.
Thank you for that great advice. I mean, I know that it's something that we hear so much, but it's always going to be true. Just keep on pushing until your dream becomes a reality, and then push a little more to make more great things happen in your life. With this whole thought of motivation, I ask you for one awesome inspirational quote that you can think of right now.
Well, I like this one by St. Francis of Assisi, where he says, start doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible.
That's a pretty good one.
I like it. Yeah, it's just inspiring to me because, you know, you do what you got to do in the beginning when you're starting your business, and you know, it's you're in hustle mode, and you're sort of actually a more apt name for it would probably be survival mode. So you just kind of got to do what you got to do. And then, you know, the possibilities start opening up for you when you start to do that. And eventually you look back and you're like, dang, I didn't know that I could do that. Like, how am I doing this right now? So yeah, you get the momentum going, and before you know it, you know, you are going to be amazed with how far you've come.
Mary, I'm very appreciative of all the time you've taken to do this interview. Before you go, I want to give you the opportunity to promote yourself to my listeners. So just take some time. Let us all know where we can find you on the web.
Thank you, Mark. Well, I just launched a new blog at persuasion-nation.com. And it's full of digital marketing tips, including content marketing and email marketing for entrepreneurs. And I've really tried to make it useful and practical for anyone who wants to start a business online, so that you can start from the beginning and achieve mastery through the basics and beyond. So again, that's just persuasion-nation.com.
Awesome stuff, Mary. All those links will be within the show notes of the episode. It was such a pleasure to have you on my podcast.
Oh, this was so much fun. Thank you, Mark. I'll need to have you on my show as well, on the Persuasion Nation podcast.
Oh, we can make that work.
Yes, awesome.
I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. A content marketing strategy will help you out big time with your content marketing efforts. Mary provided us with some great insights on how to create an effective strategy, and also revealed some awesome tidbits about how Optin Monster conducts its content marketing strategy. If you forgot to take notes, then don't worry. We've got you covered with the show notes. Visit markandbirdie.com/E29. For those, you can ask your questions over there, which I'll be more than happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markandbirdie.com/iTunes or markandbirdie.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. If you like my podcast, then you will definitely love my YouTube channel. Not only do I publish my podcast episodes on YouTube, but I also publish multiple YouTube videos every week in which I answer your questions and provide additional advice. To get more information on that channel and to subscribe, To that channel, go to youtube.com/MarkGuberti.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Guberti. For more insights, head on over to markguberti.com.